Hi there, movie breakers. Here's Lida, and I'm still at Venice. And yesterday you heard me and Patrick on air with another episode of our Venice podcast. And now I'm here with another interview. And this time it's especially exciting because this film has just been all over the media in Venice. You haven't probably heard yet from it, but it's called The Antic and it's directed by Rusudan Glorzice. Hello.
Hello.
She's here with me, and her film was supposed to run in this in one of the smaller side sections. It's her second feature after her first Oscar-nominated feature, The House of Others, which also won big at Carlo Vivari. And this film now has been blocked from being screened to the press. I saw it on a press screener, but the public cinematic screening has also been banned. And can you just tell us more about why that has happened and when you heard about it and the whole story?
I can't explain it. Why? Because I guess it's big violation of the court, because what the Russian present there, I'm totally sure it's a bullshit. They just present to cancel it. And why? Because always they want to destroy this movie. They had a several attempts and now they reach their point.
So the film deals with a very delicate point. It's set in Russia and deals with a point in history when Russians suddenly out of the blue deported a lot of Georgians,
yes.
Citizens.
It was a case which we win in Strasbourg, like Georgia against Russia. Yeah. So the background of the story is a deportation.
Yeah, and even though the story is very, let's say, allegorically and very
yes.
subtle in the way it deals with that issue, the issue is present, and one could interpret the story as critical of Russia. Now, if I say critical of Russia, don't mean critical in any way that would be upsetting to anybody or any movie that's made in Germany or that you would see from the US or anywhere.
Yeah.
But we know that Russia is at a point where they even touch out rainbows out of musical videos because they feel that even a rainbow in the background is too gay. So you can imagine that even the smallest sidestep or something that has been considered a sidestep will lead to a ban. And of course, there's the perception that this is the actual reason for the ban. Officially, it's copyright reasons, but it's an original story. There is no copyright or anything, so...
No, there is no copyright reasons, I can tell you. Honestly, it's a reason that two charlatans want to destroy this movie. And I can think, I guess, it's not just their own passion to do it. It's kind of, I think it's orchestrated by the Russians.
So you said there were already before that attempts to kind of get the production to
yes.
a ground. Would you like to tell about that?
No, it was very difficult from beginning. And when even I started to make this story, I always know that it will be difficult to do it. Because it's touch. And now it's more relevant, so it shows me that what happens now around the film means that I really get the point.
Certainly. If your movie is getting banned by Russia, I think we are at a historical point where this can be considered a compliment.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's really spot on the issue, and it took me a while to get into it actually, because to a certain point you think, oh, that's just like a pleasant love story or like a romantic comedy, and then you realize, no, it isn't. This is about deeper issues. We have this young woman which is a refugee from Georgia and hides in the flat of an old man in Russia, and there's also this literal motive of antiquities, and we see how certain people in the society are seen like old furniture, like something that has to go out. And also, this is a symbol also for the past, of course, a past which is simply discarded and which is destroyed, so that there's no way to look at what the past actually was. And we also see, of course, on a populist level, how the past is rewritten.
Exactly. I agree on each of your words, but I had like an idea, maybe tomorrow I will go to San Marco place, I will take a chair, I will take a script, and I will invite the public, and I will read the script page by page, describing like a close-up of Medea, first shot, second shot, like Russia in a snow, frozen, like a lake, etc., etc., because I don't know how to achieve to be screened and how to achieve that my voice will be heard.
And this is also like an issue that has to do with the Venice Film Festival, because there is, as far as I could perceive it, no legal obligation for the film festival to pull the movie. They just do it out of, in quotation marks, precaution, and I would say it's just cowardice.
Yes, exactly.
Because we're here in the EU, why doesn't the Venice Film Festival, which always claims to be independent from politics, even though now it is led by a literal fascist, in a way, that it says, we don't even dare to show this movie, even though there's no legal basis to the claim, we just out of precaution pull a film because Russia tells us.
It's very ridiculous and shame, big shame, that I'm in the middle of Europe and I'm banned by Russia.
Yes, that is really. And did you shoot in Russia this movie?
Yes, I shoot this movie exactly before the war started in Russia, in Ukraine. In January, February 2003, I'm lost already. So we back to home in 21 or 22 of February, and the war started in a few days just.
And how did it feel that suddenly there was this urgency?
I had a feeling. I always told to my crew members that something will happen, because the smell of war was in the air, you know, and the shooting was very tough, because it was like a show and hide and censorship, and they trying to block the location, they trying to even cut the costumes of main character. So it was a very tough period. It was not just a film, it was a kind of everyday, it was a fight.
How much were the Russian authorities aware of what the movie would finally look like? Did you have something like a fake script that you showed them? Because I would imagine...
No,
so you showed them the real script.
We had not Russian official money. We had just Russian minority co-producer, and we need it because to have access to go and shoot there. But then during every match session, the Russian government read the script first time, and it was immediate night call to me from Russian minority co-producer that please take out the scenes. And I told her it's a censorship,
and also those scenes are vital to the movie. I mean, this is what the movie is about, so if you have a story like that, you cannot just take the scene out.
You want the melodrama about like Peter, Lado and Medea? No, it's not my story. It's a written, and you know the script, so no. And she told me, if you don't take out the scene, the Russians will do their best that you don't get the funding in your homage.
And how did you then?
Yeah.
And how did you then get funding?
We get the funding once, and then when war starts, Russia was out of Council of Europe and all conventions. So, and it was another routing because of that. All projects where Russia was minority was comes again to the voting in Urmash, and it was a lot of project that just antique stay, and even Ukraine vote for it, you know. So, and then finally they don't sign a contract, the Russians. So they break Urmash.
And as far as I know, you already mentioned the producer, so also your crew and your actors were partly Russian and partly Georgian.
Of course, because it's...
And how was the atmosphere on the set? Because I could imagine that also the Russians, who are not in agreement with the government, are under big pressure. And of course, it's also a personal ambiguity, because maybe you love your country or your friends and your family, but you still hate the government and the system. So, and maybe you will have to continue to live and work there, or have to think about this, or have to think about where you go afterwards. How was that?
No, all of them, they read the script, so they know about what the script was. So, I am a person which not change any comma in a script. So it's not I present something and then I change something. So they, all of them was agreed to be part of it, and it was a really big gift for me to work with Sergei Drayden, great actor, but we had a contract with a Finnish company, not with Russian ones, with him, and so it was a very great like time. And he gave me a lot as professional. He gave me a lot, and he educated me how to do and how to achieve that. Because he's fantastic, just fantastic.
He really is. He plays the old man who harbors the young main character.
Yeah.
Who it's kind of implied in the movie, but it looks like she flees to Russia inside a box. And we just have this one in the beginning, this one little pan shot on a box, and we never actually see her coming out of it. But there's implication, and she's there, and we can only then later conclude she was in that box.
Yeah.
So. Then there's also the issue, of course, when did you first come along the story? When did it start, the actual plot of the film?
It's come to me many years ago. And it's come from suddenly, from totally, it's inspired by the deportation, of course, but it's come from different story. In 2008, me and my husband, we sold our apartment and we trying to find new one. So, and we find some nice apartment in the center of Tbilisi, and it was very cheap. So we came to the owner, and the old, very nice guy opened us the door, and I asked him, why you sold this apartment so cheap?
Which is actually the same question that the young woman first asked when she's looking for a place.
Darling, I sold this apartment, but with me inside. So I was, okay, sorry, but it was kind of, it stayed in my mind, and when I start to build the story with my co-writer, I start from this point, Vadim Vadimich, which is nickname of Putin, alone, sold his apartment with him inside.
And then, of course, we have other themes in this story.
There's lots of layers inside, yes.
There's this theme with the old furniture, which is it's in the title, obviously. And also there's this kind of office building where they deal with old furniture.
Yes.
And also use, of course, the old furniture to make some not very legal things,
yeah,
for humanitarian causes. And we also have this theme of surveillance. Even if it's in a more positive light, there is this woman's voice, which is always just in the background, and she's,
yes,
like the whole leader of the operation, but we never actually see her, we just,
yes,
hear her.
It was it's very funny character, Manana.
Yeah.
When Vladimir asking, it's Peter asking, it's who is her? How is in Latin? He's a god.
Ah, yeah, a deity. Yeah.
He's a god. No, it's my partner, so it's very nice character, somebody who manipulated all the story, but never seen. It's like...
Yeah, and of course, even
it's
though...
It's like a symbol of nowadays.
Exactly, and even though it's more lighthearted, it's definitely also scary and uncanny to have this awareness to be always watched by somebody, and then suddenly have a voice like breathing down your back and telling you, don't do this, or why didn't you do that, all those kind of things. So that there, you never see the surveillance, but it seems to be actually, like you said, like some kind of supernatural thing and omnipresent. And
yes,
how did you find those great locations? Because it looks really amazing. This
we build it.
Ah, you build it.
One location we found it, and second one we build it ourselves. And we had very great set designer Gogi Micheladze, which was set designer of very known Georgian film Repentance, if you know, of Tengiz Abuladze. And we started to build this set from, from scratch. And every day, during 4 or 5 months, we were in a flea market to collect this old fashion and old things. And we did everything by our hands.
And there is the scene where old photographs get cut up into little pieces and discarded. Are those real photographs, or did you just make reproductions?
No, it's real photographs.
And
for me, it's a kind of a symbol that he wrote the history, the history.
Yeah, it's also connected, of course, to the personal history, that you kind of, if
yes,
you feel that your life is going to an end, you also don't want to leave any traces, you erase your personal history.
It's not just a personal history.
No, because every is a personal biography, it's connected to the wider history. If
exactly,
I have photos of the family,
exactly,
in the past, it also shows us how society was.
Yes.
And obliterating the personal history also always takes bits and pieces out of the collective history.
Yes, exactly.
And did the movie get shown so far anywhere, maybe in a small circle before Venice? Or is this really the first time that it would be on a bigger screen?
Yes.
And you already told us about this idea to go to a San Marco or
public
place.
I'm thinking about different ideas how to express myself, because I should express myself. I hope film will be seen in Venice. Unfortunately, yesterday screening and today screening was cancelled, and it's kind of discrimination of this film, but I hope it will be.
And have there been interest already by other festivals? Because I could even imagine that they jumped now for
it. It was interest by other festivals, but I don't know, it's such a case that maybe the other festivals will be also scary to it depends. Maybe the Antique became a ghost film.
There have been issues like that in the past, which then in those past cases usually were connected to actual contract reasons where movies couldn't be shown, and then they were just versions in the internet, and you could see it somewhere, but you couldn't officially screen it on a like in an actual movie theater, but we still have 1 week left of festival, so there's plenty of time to screen that
yes,
film.
Exactly.
And have there been like protest organized or something, or initiatives?
I have no idea. I have just called from my German co-producer, which is great guy, like Ansgar from Basis Berlin, and he told me that if they will not show the movie, I will bring projector screen and I will put it in front of the palace and we will screen it anyway.
Yeah, do it, because I'm totally the protest guy. I don't think we should stick up with repressive politics.
Yes.
And also, I mean, I don't have to explain to you listeners like why Russia at the moment is really the bad guy. This is not this is not a question of personal issues. This is not about copyright or anything behind the scenes. This is political and we shouldn't stand for it, especially
yes,
since this is really, I've seen this film on a screen and it's really a beautiful movie. It's a nice story and there's, I wouldn't even think that it's so subversive, so that even something that is just mildly critical of the from my perspective, it's just mildly critical, it's really crushed, or they try to crush it, and that just shows how repressive the system actually is. So I really hope that you go through with any kind of protest, and also, do you have new projects? Because we talk now so much about one issue.
Yes, I have a new project we did with, well, next project will be American one. It's written by American scriptwriter Gregory Jordan, and it's also about some kind of Russian violation.
Okay, and I suppose you cannot tell any more about
no.
it, but yeah, good. Now I understand. I totally understand why. So just let's squeeze in a few more questions. How did you find the main actress? Because she's just like amazing.
She's in my previous film, House of Others, and she's my close friend and we are like family, so she's a person who can express me like with a beautiful way, even we don't need like lots of explanation, and because we are so close, and she was nominated with an Antique as a shooting star 2000 of this year. So she's around here, and she had the same bullying from Russia when she was nominated in Berlin.
How
she go through the same story.
Would you like to elaborate a bit on that? Like
maybe you will speak with her. She is here. She will express herself.
Now. Maybe we can do that. Let's see if we can do that maybe in another interview.
Yes.
But for the moment, could you just say like a few things about it?
No, this Russian co-producer, which is not co-producer, but she is named like co-producer, she started to bullying like European film promotion to erase Salome, to remove her from nomination. They achieved that 1 week the clip of Salome was removed, but then everything was settled and every document was checked, and then it was not a problem and Salome became shooting star of this year.
And very deservedly so. I have to break it down again and stop this interview because our time is up, but you see, this was a very not cinematic interview but very political, but sometimes I think it's just necessary, and I hope that you stay tuned with us. We definitely will ride you and keep this case in mind, and Patrick and I will tell you how it continues. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Rusuda and Gluritsche for
yes.
this film, and I hope it gets, just hope you screen it somewhere no matter what.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.